afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is July 6, 2007. PIBTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIBTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIBTR is also dedicated to helping publish mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now, let me present to you from 2:30 to 3, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian. Thank you so much for having me and my co-host, my wonderful hostess with me, Martha Trowbridge. And we're going to bring you a great show today, Happiness for Women Only. This week, we're doing something very special. We've been talking for the last 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks, about the different stages of life that women go through. And in each stage of life, there are many ups and downs and many entrance ways to happiness if you know how to take advantage of them. So, of course, we have tried over the weeks, myself, Dr. Sandra Prince-Embry, when she's been with us, our resiliency expert, and Martha Trowbridge, and our other guest, Dr. Dori Lynn, we've each tried to help you get to some of the gateways to happiness that particularly go with a stage of life. So I thought it would be a lot of fun and very thought-provoking if for the next 3 or 4 weeks, what we're going to do is look at the different stages of life more in a giant soup. We're making a chicken soup now out of our stages of life and throwing in lots of good ingredients. And we're going to compare and sift and consolidate and see what wisdom we get that go with all the stages for happiness and what unique things may only be with one particular stage of happiness for women and just don't come back at another stage, but something else will replace it. So we're going to be doing this, and in order to really do this, several things. I'm going to remind you briefly of each stage, and also I want to set the stage, to overwork a word, around this. Martha and I have been considering doing a marathon in August through this wonderful website, radio station, Internet Voices, and we are considering having a 4-hour segment. This would mean that we would have a lot of time, much more time than we normally have, and we would be available to do all sorts of open conversation, to receive questions, to discuss different aspects of happiness for women only. It would be something very unique and different. We probably would have a more formal first half hour to introduce everything that would be available by archives and podcast, and probably a last half hour that would be available by podcasts and archives to download. But in between, in the sandwich of this 4-hour marathon on happiness for women only, would be open phones and a non-scripted 3 hours in which to discuss the different stages of life and happiness for women only, and to receive your questions and your thoughts and your ideas. So we really need to hear from you. If you're listening to this, I need to hear from you. Write me an email at Dr. just the abbreviation, drbarbara@enchantedself.com. That's drbarbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, @enchantedself.com, or simply go to my website, enchantedself.com. That's one word, E-N-C-H-A-N-T-E-D.com. If you forget all that, look up my name, Barbara Becker Holstein. You'll get to my website. Find me. Send an email whether you like the idea of this marathon or probably, I think it's on a Tuesday morning, Eastern Standard Time, 9 to 1, something like that. I'm not positive. Do you like it? Do you have a question? Do you have some thoughts? Let us hear from you so we can make a decision.
Right, and Barbara, if I may jump in here.
Please.
If women are unable to make that particular time to tune in, they're welcome to send their questions via email, and we could address them on the air, and then they could just listen to the responses later. And
right.
One of my dogs, sorry.
Yes, except that if we're only archiving an hour or so, we might have to think of another system. Perhaps we'll think of something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the
yes.
entire program
Or
would
if
be
we
archived.
Archive the whole thing, it's just we have to make a decision and
yes.
we're looking for people's input on it.
I see.
If we do, or maybe we'll have a special hour of questions and answers and that will be archived.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it that way, and that way no one would miss out even if they're at work or living on the other side of the world and sleeping.
Yes.
And then maybe in the other times we would be having some guests experts on happiness jumping in and out with their views and so on.
Sounds like
so,
fun.
Yeah, it does sound fun. You know, it sounds like something new that I've never done, and, you know, why not try new things, right?
Well, we'll have to bring lots of popcorn.
Yes, right, and lots to drink
yes.
and have lunch somehow anyway. I don't miss a meal for anything unless it's a crisis, so we'll have to figure that out. But, anyway, going back to today's show, Gateways to Happiness in Terms of the Stages of Life, let me reminisce about each stage, and Martha, you can jump in anytime. Remember, our first stage was ages 10 to 19, what we call the Enchanted Girl. It's a time of discovery, excitement, experimentation. It's a time period where the struggle between the natural sense of oneself culminating in a real sense of mastery and power is a little bit at odds and being affected by the world around ourselves. In other words, i.e., we're having pressure from our hormones and we're having pressure from the world to grow up, and that is creating some degree of dilemma. So that there are body changes and there are messages coming in, so that there is some conflict that interrupts happiness.
Right, and I think also, Barbara, that there is a conflict between, at that age, you're seeking approval and you're also being rebellious at the same time. So it can be quite confusing and a lot to sort out.
Absolutely, it really can be, and create a lot of guilt. For example, a girl of 10, 11, or 12 might do something that she's just so excited. Maybe I'll pick something simple and dangerous. She rides her bicycle without holding the handlebar. Okay, you know, the usual no-no.
Right.
But she's very good at it, and she's imagining herself like a trapeze artist in a big circus. She's on top of an elephant, you know, the whole thing. And, of course, her mother comes to the door and sees her, and there's all heck to pay. It's just maybe she's punished or maybe she's just yelled at, but there is a psychic wound inflicted because she's gone beyond where she should have gone.
And she doesn't understand her mother is visioning her in the orthopedic ward for the next 3 years.
Exactly.
All broken bones and so
yes.
on. Right.
And here she has this wonderful sense of power and empowerment. So, you know, this, yes, so we see some of this struggle going on.
And actually, Barbara, you know, up through age 19, we also have the struggle about dating those girls.
Tell me.
What that involves. And that whole, and in today's culture, which I think is sad for this to be such an issue at such a young age, but the whole, what do I do about my sexuality? You know, do I give it away the way, with all this pressure, do I not give it away? There's a real lot going on in those 9 years.
Oh, absolutely. And the drama, the just the drama. I'm just thinking myself of my senior prom, and not one of the fellows that I had had interest in, you know, had come by in his white horse. I don't know what happened to them. They just deserted me at such an important moment. And I was so relieved, but still secretly somewhat distressed when, you know, a fellow that I considered nice, you know what I mean by nice?
Well, a friend.
Yeah.
As opposed to
you
a
know,
passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He invited me, and I think, you know, with genuine feelings that he wanted to go and so on. But, you know, it was really like a soap opera.
Yeah.
And not the romance that one envisions, so... And that that just goes with the territory. This type of strain is daily for many girls during those years.
And so it is doubly important that a girl feels good about who she is, regardless of what stressors she's facing from her relational world.
Absolutely. And I remember at one point actually asking my parents if I could go to a private girls' school, because I really felt... in that kind of environment, I would have much less stress.
You mean as opposed to, well, I did go to a private girls' school.
For high school?
Yes, and very private, 16 girls in my class from start to finish.
That's what I wanted. How was it?
You did. We should have swapped.
Yes.
Well, you know, you think there will be less distractions, but because you don't meet boys at your school, you go to ridiculous lengths on the weekends and in the evenings to connect with boys. And usually they're boys from all boys schools who are in similar circumstances on their end. And so it can also be frenetic to not, but you can get a little boy crazy if you don't have boys around you on a regular basis.
Yes, I know. So there you go. You know, whichever side of the coin, then there's always an issue and there's always a conflict. And that's why, in reality, happiness isn't really something that you can just clean up your life and then you're happy. I think happiness is something, it's an attitude and a way of making your life harmonious, so that even though you're in the middle of minor conflicts, you're not distraught and you're still drawing pleasure. It's a very subtle concept.
I so agree. And you know, Barbara, what I've found helpful as I get older and as I move through different my own phases and issues and so on is I have made it routine to have these very quiet celebratory moments in which I really celebrate myself and my life. And they're just very quiet, but they scintillate. And they make me feel warm and good about things. And they really help center me and achieve that kind of harmony in life of which you speak.
Well, I can't let you pass by that without you sharing. I want to say that I didn't fully introduce you, partly because in this mess of papers I couldn't find the exact title.
Oh, that's quite all right. Well,
but I want you to tell about how you do that in your books, because you may do it for yourself, but you have put it in the most beautiful form in your writing, so tell us a little more.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Well, many of your listeners may know that I've been a victim of violence and at age 35 and went into a terrible period of despair and depression and post-traumatic stress disorder that went on for years and years. And I was really, really completely lost and desperate and managed to find my way out. And so Barbara is referring to probably my book that will one of these months get released, which is Wings of Self-Love, Inspiration for Shattered Women, which talks to women who are really totally at their wits' end about themselves and their lives. They're just overcome with depression or trauma or what have you, grief. And I speak to a woman from my heart, from my own experience of feeling totally, like, worthless, nothing, devastated. And how, I don't know if I'm answering your question, Barbara, but just ways to start getting to a point where you can genuinely love yourself and heal from that self-love.
And I think some of the activities you build into the draft I saw were not only written with such poetical language, but they were so, these tiny, tiny baby steps, because so often you're just thrown, you know, you've thrown some ideas that are so far beyond what you're ready to do
right.
that, you know, you're lying there in a half coma and someone says, make sure you exercise half hour a day.
And you say, right, I can't even move. Well, that's it. I did find in my own healing process that it was easy to get overwhelmed. Someone would suggest whatever it is. And I've discovered it's much better to not expect too much of yourself, no matter where you are in that process, and just let it flow and do what you can and celebrate that you were able to do that. And it all starts reinforcing itself. You start filling yourself with positive affect, with really good feelings about yourself, as opposed to the voices that tell you, oh, you can't do it, you didn't do it, why didn't you do it, and so on. So instead of attacking yourself, you're talking to yourself in happiness kinds of
uh-huh.
ways, where you are letting the happiness filter in as opposed to the self-beratement.
It's beautiful, and I can't wait till your book is released. But meanwhile, we should still mention, and I'm going to make it more prominent on my website again. It's still up, but we haven't talked and done enough about it. There is a e-book you can download that's part of Martha's series. I think that's an earlier book.
Yes, it is. It's the core metaphor, which is the woman you were born to be. And I believe any woman at any phase can become the woman she was born to be by taking the steps I suggest in that book, and then I develop much more in subsequent writing.
Okay, so we really have to get back to that book and do a lot more talking about it, and it is up there. I'm going to see if we can make it a little more prominent, and it's not expensive at all because, of course, the advantage of e-books is we have the opportunity to sell you books at a much cheaper rate. You know, using the computer. I think that before we go on, the little girl who is the star of my book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, is in my room stamping her feet saying, what, you're going to go on and
right.
leave the first group, and you didn't even mention me?
Right.
So
you, Barbara.
Yes, she's not happy.
No.
So, you know, she's worked really hard, too. So let me explain my new book, as I said, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, which is available on my website and Amazon and will be sent to you within a few weeks if you order it. We're in the middle of printing it right now, and it's a very short printing run, so it's there. It's just ready to go. And I even have some advanced copies. If you would like to write a review, I'll get you a copy immediately, and you don't have to worry. If you're going to write a review, you don't even have to pay for the book. Just be in touch with me, and we'll work it out. The more reviews I can get on Amazon, the better. But anyway, this little girl really tells it like it is around 10 to 11 and a half in her diary, and she speaks the truth, and she has that wisdom that we all had in one way or another sometime between 8 and 12. I believe that. Perhaps not if you were horribly abused. God forbid, we don't, you know, how can we compare? But within the normal range of living, even if your parents were somewhat dysfunctional, and even if you didn't have pretty clothes and you had hand-me-downs or whatever your issues were, we all had a sense of knowing what's right, what's wrong, what feels good, what makes us happy, and what adults should darn well remember and know. And sometimes they're so silly and stupid and they forget. And
well, Barbara,
so,
you know, too, also when you were saying, I think despite whatever your surrounding environs were between age 8 and 12, we all have an inner life, and we may have had to keep it very private, and we may have had to, you know, shield ourselves from attack from without, but we have had that private life, and your book is such a wonderful tool to reconnect with how we thought and felt at that age if at this point in our lives, for whatever reason, we're disconnected from that marvelous sense of being a young girl. It's just a wonderful way to open us up to our own feelings and thoughts of those days.
Right, and to get back to the woman you were meant to be. So even if you read the book and you say, well, gee, I was never in love, you know, when I was 10 and 11. I can't really you know, I don't really, I, it was cute, I enjoyed reading, but it's not something I experienced. But it may, what may pop into your head is something else. You know, you may have been passionate about wanting to be something when you grew up. You wanted to be a ballerina or whatever it was. And you, you know, that idea just filled you night and day, and you understand by reconnecting with a little girl, passion.
Right, that you reconnect to perhaps a buried passion that you've had. That's another wonderful reason to read your book, is that you may start to awaken. You, for instance, Barbara, we've talked over several shows about finding your purpose in life, and sometimes we can get so sidetracked and distracted by all of the demands upon our lives that we may be confused about what our genuine purpose is, and this book will bring you back to a state of mind of the 8 to 12-year-old girl wherein you may discover things that you've sort of buried all these years or had to abandon.
That's right, and I found it very interesting. I just had a 17-year-old girl read the book, and she absolutely loved it.
Oh, great.
So I think that what I'm finding is there are chords released by reading the book that are very sympathetic and at the same time somewhat passionate chords that help us feel better and reconnect with ourselves. And we get a kick out of the girl, and she's there to help us get a kick out of life. And she doesn't mind exposing herself. She's kind of the integration of many clients and people I've known over the years. Of course, there's a tiny bit of me mixed in. How could there not be? But I agree with you, Martha. So,
Barbara, she has the courage to be herself, which is what we all should have.
Yes.
I think that's one of the most beautiful things about that character, is she just can be herself without apology, you know, without excuse, without defending it. She can just be herself, and that's such a wonderful gift for any of us.
It's such a wonderful gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a wonderful gift. I sometimes think I can count on my hands and not much more days or periods of time when I felt so totally at ease with people that, you know, there was just, so I was so comfortable to be who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be that way even, I mean, obviously much more of the time.
I think it should be that way all the time
in
the ideal world. Because
absolutely.
It's such a source of anxiety to have to hide who you are and to have to try to be someone you're not just to get along with other people. Which brings us actually, Barbara, to this the theme of today's discussion, the happiness business, that we really need to find ways, no matter what stage, what phase of life we're in, to have wise relationships and rule out dead-end distractions and foolish expenditures of our time and just be true to who we are.
It reminds me of something very silly, and then I promise we'll at least go on to 20 to 35, and we have the future, so we don't have to cover every age today.
Mm-hmm.
But I was out with a girlfriend that I feel super comfortable with, and we were visiting, making a call for someone who had lost a family member, so we're going to her home and make a sympathy call. And between the two of us, we went up to about three wrong houses before we could find the right house. We were, you know, bumbling and fumbling and even called her on her cell phone. We, for whatever reasons, we couldn't orient to the right house. We were off by one number, and then we were on the wrong side of the street. And we both have husbands who would have just gone wild. You know, didn't you get the number straight? You know, what's the matter? Whatever. And between the two of us, the ways our dispositions interacted, it was like, wow, this is fun. We're getting to look into someone's windows.
It's an adventure.
Right. You know, it's like, what is the big deal? There's no problem here. It is another moment in a slice of life that really is very charming.
And you could have fun doing it.
Exactly.
Which is
so
great.
You know, to be able to have fun,
mm-hmm.
that's what we have to keep reawakening.
Right.
So let's look at the gal between 20 and 35. And, yes, I think in general, for healthy 20 to 35-year-olds, there's a lot of fun. there's gaining ground in the sense of feeling mature, I remember feeling much more mature kind of year by year during those years, having some status, usually having completed, obviously, at least high school and perhaps an advanced degree, perhaps college, or whether you're a hygienist, whatever it is, you've done something. And the inner and outer conflicts have died down a little bit. You've kind of resolved whether you're sleeping with your boyfriend, you're not, you're married, you don't want to get married for years, what your sexuality can handle, who you are. You've kind of made some sense of whether you feel a need to have children early, whether you want to get your career established. And so there is a very positive inner drive going on that's somewhat consistent with the wisdom that you see as you see it at that age. So your mind and your cognitive capacities and your passions are somewhat lined up. And for many, many women, lots of good things happen. So jump in, Martha. That's kind of a summary during those years.
Well, I'm thinking we had talked several times about the work of Jean Baker Miller, Dr. Jean Baker Miller, who was director of the Stone Center at Wellesley College, a wonderful resource for women's psychology. And she's so focused upon the idea of connection. And Barbara, I was speaking to you a few days ago. I was rereading a book of hers called The Healing Connection, published in 1997. And she's talking about disconnection as having such negative impact on our lives. So I think in this time period, as in others, but especially 20 to 35, it's really a time when our connections with men and women play a real fundamental role in whether we're happy or not.
Absolutely. My girlfriends, I remember, were sort of so sacred during those years. Even though I was married very young, there was something about meeting up with my girlfriends that was like a sanctuary and a way of feeling very special, that marriage didn't hold the same type of bond. You know, you begin to figure out what types of connections you get in various types of relationships that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Listening to you, it's almost like a time out from being Mrs. So-and-so, where you can just be Ms. Barbara, mm-hmm. Dr. Barbara. Do you know what I mean? Where you can just enter this world almost where it's just you without all of the whatever that being a wife and mother involves. So it's time for you when you're with your women friends. It's time just for you, which is so critical.
It really is, and I think a lot of our happiness is reinforced by the time that we take to get that connective factor re-stimulated. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have happiness, as I said, it's a very complex thing. You can have happiness in a million ways. You can go out and do charity work and feel happy. You can give yourself a bubble bath or a massage and your mood is uplifted. But I think you're right, Martha, that one of the core reestablishments and have to be made again and again is connecting to other people and feeling harmonious and uplifted in that connection. So we should remind people that women listening that there are many gateways to happiness to get to that connectivity. For example, if you are meeting your needs and learning what you need to do during between 20 and 35, like you're completing your education, you're learning to budget, you're learning to live on your own if you're not married, or still budget and, you know, run all your affairs even if you're married as far as money stuff, etc. You're creating, like if you went into a circus tent, you know how there used to be the three rings and things going on in the old days when there were big circuses. There would be three rings, and there would be acrobats in one ring, and there'd be animals in another. There'd be clowns in another.
It sounds you know. Like my house.
So, one of the rings that you go into is learning how to meet your needs and how to control your life. So, you know, it's not the only ring going on, but if you get that one straight and all the monkeys aren't just jumping out and going crazy, then you have enough energy to feel a sense of well-being and to feel happy as you connect with your friends and your husband or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. You know, you've got the energy system going.
Well, that's so important, and I think it's also that energy to be able to be focused upon doing what you need to do. If you don't have that core energy, you're always drained. You're always overwhelmed. You're always anxious. So it really is unquestionably critical for you to find a way to get that energy.
Right, right.
And sustain it, which is another whole discussion, Barbara.
It's another whole discussion. Energy is so critical. It's just so critical. And without it, so many of our doorways to our own happiness start to close down and darken. And I feel bad for women who really are running on very little personal energy. I can see it, you know, in my clients as they talk, and that's one of the things we immediately work on. We have two other age ranges. I think that we should, I'll just mention briefly, but I think we should save them. One is the years between 35 and 49, which are wisdom gathering years, good years for many, many women with babies and jobs and husbands and houses and looking good and feeling healthy. And even the world has helped us more with women who represent those age ranges, looking great and feeling great and writing books and helping us. There's just so much that wasn't there before. And then the last age range we're discussing is ages 50 plus, although we could break that down a lot further. And we're talking about consolidation and rebirth of oneself in a really spectacular new way of not being drained anymore. You know the old joke, the kids grow up and the dog dies, which is I always thought was a sad joke, really sad. But there is this period of time where you can reinvent yourself for so many things that, again, in history, people never even dreamed of. Who's going to be 65 and training to climb a mountain? It was ridiculous. Well, now it's so busy you can't even get, you know, it's hard to even register with a group to go climb a mountain because you might have to wait 2 years. It's
right.
Just a different world.
Isn't it something?
It's just amazing. So I think we should leave those and really mention once again that this was more or less an open conversation. You got to hear a lot, particularly Martha. I'm so happy Martha Trowbridge shared more of herself and who she is and why she's writing her passionate and wonderful books to help women really become the woman they're meant to be and to heal. And we're looking for feedback, whether you like this open style and you would join us in a marathon of 3 or 4 hours in August. And I want to mention that the paper, Gateways to Happiness, is available on the front of my website, Enchanted Self, so you get a whole, full background in what we're teaching about happiness for women only. And all these shows are archived, so I'm going to encourage you to go to the archives for Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and listen to some of the other shows where we explore the different ages. And even before that, we were talking about the concept of happiness in general. We really have a lot, Martha. It's amazing how much we've collected already.
We sure have.
So, let's just give your website again. Go ahead. I don't think you mentioned it today.
Okay, and thank you, Barbara, for having me again.
You're welcome.
It's great. My website's www.marthatrowbridge, all one word, TROWBRIDGE.org.
Good. So we're going to sign off for tonight, for today. Please write us at drbarbara@enchantedself.com. And we will be back in the next few weeks reviewing Happiness for Women Only, both through age ranges and in any other fashion. I have one wonderful guest lined up who is an international expert on happiness, and we'll use that day, even though he's a male, you know, we're going to use that day to get some general perspectives. He's both a psychiatrist and a clergyman, so it should be a very interesting combination. And for now, we're going to sign off and say thank you for coming to Happiness for Women Only, and see you again next time. Bye.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only. If you would like to hear this all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Our next program will be Monica Coleman, Let's Talk Waterways, from 3:30 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, and then 4:15 to a quarter of 5, our to-be-known host, Lillian Caldwell, will be interviewing Lee Shea, who is an author and has written a book. But before you leave, let me say that PIVTR, whether promoting you or providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching program for our listeners' enjoyment and to go out the work week in style. Some Sophie Tucker, an American singer who said, from birth to age 18, a girl needs good parents. From 18 to 35, she needs good looks. From 35 to 55, she needs a good personality. From 55 on, she needs good cash. Thank you all for listening. There will be pre-recorded programs to listen to finish out the evening. And on Sunday, Dr. Nye Williams will be doing a repeat performance of her program from 8 to 9:30, so please join us then. If you ever have questions for the talk show host, please call 916-233-4242, PIN number 924-920, pound key. You want to let me know how you like or dislike what's going on Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio? Email me at capital L, capital C, the rest small letters, A-U-L-D, W-E-L-L at internetvoicesradio.com. Thank you very much and have a great day.